Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for Wednesday, November 8th, 9th. I'm Alan Chartok. Election day is behind us. Donald Trump is the president-elect of the United States. It's a victory that surprised many and is likely to go down as one of the most notable moments in political history. Why do you think the election went that way? How are you feeling today? What do you think a Trump presidency will look like? We want to know. The number is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email the show at voxpop@wamc.org. Your calls and emails coming up. And when, right after this news. So I'll give you the phone number one more time. 1-800-348-2551. Hi, everybody. It's Alan, and we're here for today's Vox Pop on your reactions to the election of Donald Trump, who received 279 electoral votes to secure the presidential election. Clinton garnered 228 electoral votes and holds a small lead in the popular vote. In her concession speech this morning, Clinton says the loss is painful, but says she has offered to work with Trump. President Obama says he was heartened by Trump's call for unity. House Speaker Paul Ryan says Trump's victory has turned politics on its head. Ryan said he expects the new president to work hand in hand with a Republican-led Congress. What do you think? And that's what this program's about. And so I want the telephone number is 1-800-348-2551. Lines are filling up, but I want to tell you, here are the rules. You got to be civil. I like civility, and I think it's important. You can't say anything that, you know, would be very bad for WAMC in terms of being fined or anything. We don't want to hear any dirty words. I doubt that we will, but I'm just cautioning you because this is a difficult day for many. Okay, here we go. We're going to go to Liz in Belchertown. Liz, you're on.
Hi. Yes, Dr. Chartok. I just wanted to make 3 points. One is we have to look to history. And Lincoln's plan originally was just to save the Union and not to abolition for the slaves. And he changed. Kennedy also was not for social equality first. And then he changed in office. And FDR was a really rich elite person, and he became a champion for the disinfected. And I think last night Trump was very conciliatory. I don't think he's as monstrous as he's been portrayed, even portraying himself in his own words. And one other thing, I'm nervous. You know, people mellow and they get wiser as they get older. And he's the oldest president-elect that we've ever had. And so I hope for our country he'll be the wisest president-elect we ever had. And that's all I wanted to say.
Well, well said. Thank you very much. Appreciate your call. We've got a Bill in Albany. Okay, Bill, your turn.
Good afternoon, Alan.
Hey.
I talked to you yesterday. You asked me how I was, if I was anxious, and I said no. I was excited that Hillary was going to win and anxious that Trump was going to lose. And you said, well, what if it went the other way? And I said, no way, Alan. No way. I've got a bottle of wine and a bottle of champagne. My wife and I are going to celebrate tonight. Hey, Alan, do you want an unopened bottle of champagne?
No.
Also, Alan,
yeah.
I, you know, he helped to divide this nation. And last night he said what they all say. He says he's not a politician. Obviously, he is. Let's come together now.
Of course.
He's the one who helped divide this nation. I just can't see him uniting the nation. He's a divider.
And you disagree with our
and
first...
Also, whoa.
You disagree with our first caller who thinks that, you know, once he's in office, he'll become a different person.
Ha, ha, ha.
Okay, now...
Also, he appealed, in my opinion, he appealed to the nationalistic id as an id, ego, and superego. And if Freud were to diagnose Trump, I think he would diagnose him as a nut job.
All right. Bill, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. All right. Let's go to let's go to Dennis here. He's been waiting the longest in Kerhonkson. All right, Dennis, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
Little while since we've spoken. I do need to say, Alan, that I have been calling into WAMC for 10 or probably 15 years. expressing my very serious concerns about this country and the direction that the country is going in. And you have consistently and adamantly dismissed my concerns. I sent you a little email to a show recently talking about the author Chris Hedges and his book American Fascists that was published 10 years ago, and how Hedges universally, for the last 10 years, has been universally condemning the liberal elite of this country and screaming bloody murder about where this country is going and where we're going to wind up. We have wound up there now. There are a lot of people who are not at all surprised and not at all horrified by what happened. I listened to your show this morning at the Linda. People in tears, people genuinely freaked, like overwhelmed. You talking about leaving the country. I know you're not going to leave the country. Thank you. Please don't. Continue to do some good work, but I think we need to change the nature of the conversation. Coincidentally, you might not know, but I think you'd be interested to know that November 9th is the anniversary of Kristallnacht.
I do know it. Indeed, I know it. I'm married to a Holocaust scholar. And many people, and we mentioned it on the air this morning, Dennis.
So, oh, you did? Okay. So, yeah, so. I didn't listen to the whole show.
Yeah.
So what we need to do is, I was in a room with Ralph Nader 20 years ago when I heard him say, himself, this is not something that I read or that I heard from somebody else. Ralph Nader 20 years ago was saying that the only ethical way to deal with this country and the monster that is corporate capitalism is to hasten its demise. And there are a lot of people who have been contending for a long time, and I'm one of them, that to vote in a criminal electoral process is not only unethical, it is criminal and it's a crime against humanity. So what we have to do is we have to take the conversation outside of this context, whether it's Donald Trump or some other knucklehead, some other outrageous personality, it really doesn't make a difference. It's not going to make a difference really whether Donald Trump or Hillary gets elected, like everyone who I hear on most everyone I hear on your radio say. We need
to
talk
about what do you mean your
things
radio?
That are important.
Go ahead. Put a period on it for a minute, will you? Or a comma,
yes,
at least.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Or a pause. You know, what do you mean your radio station? You're calling in. You call in all the time.
I do, yeah.
Yes, and so it's ours, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right, go ahead.
I stand corrected. So what we need to do is we need to take the conversation outside of the box, and we need to decide what tangible things can be done to really start to rectify the problem, get to the root of the problem.
Okay, and look, because, no. What you have is one more sort of breath in you, that because we have a lot of people lined up behind you. So what is it that you want done?
Number one, abolish the Fed. Number one, abolish the Federal Reserve. And if you understand what the implications of that are, then you'll begin to understand the root of the problem.
Number
two? The problem is Wall Street and the war machine.
Okay, number two? Number two?
Oh, boy. I'm nervous
I don't want you to be nervous. Okay. I want you to be treated well. You called up with a bit of an attack. I'm better than you are about that. And so I'm treating you with great respect. But,
okay, constitutional convention to restructure the type of government that we have and to eliminate the two-party system and to have a more equitable power structure in this country.
Sure, the Republicans in Congress, who now control Congress, going to be all over that one. Hey,
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm not saying that it's going to get done. You asked me for what I did. Needs to be done.
I did, and I appreciate it, and I thank you for your call. All right, let's go to... been holding on for a long time, is TJ in Spring Glen. Okay, TJ, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Hi, Professor. It's the first time I ever called.
Good.
One thing I didn't really ever hear, I'm a constant listener to WAMC. I love it. I haven't fully heard addressed the election of Trump is now going to also, I believe, largely allow the implementation of the Paul Ryan budget. And people don't realize that that constitutes a 20% reduction in Social Security benefits, possibly turning Medicare into a voucher system, cutting food stamps by $23 billion, and then some of the other agenda of the Republican House, privatizing our national parks, allowing strip mining, mining, drilling, fracking there, the end of Planned Parenthood. In other words, Trump isn't so much personally, in my personal opinion, but I've read the definitions. He isn't so much an ideologue as he is an opportunist and, I believe, a sociopath. But Ryan is a hardcore ideologue. And I don't know how much Chuck Schumer and the Democrats are going to be able to filibuster this wave of drastic change that we'll especially see in his first 100 days. And also his readiness to use presidential directives. People kept harping on President Obama's use of presidential directives, which weren't even as many as President Bush's. But I think everybody had better prepare themselves for drastic, drastic change. And then, of course, also very likely the repeal of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare.
Yeah. Well, you make you make a lot of good points, TJ. I got to take a break. Thank you for that. You certainly came prepared, and I thank you for your first time call. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. Zachary, take it away.
Support for WMC comes from Curtis Lumber, announcing their new kitchen showrooms featuring kitchen design trends and cabinets from Wellborn and Merrillat and quartz countertops from Cambria. CurtisLumber.com. Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Quarry and fabrication used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking. Rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires. AshfieldStone.com. Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve good farmland for good forever. agstewardship.org. Rhinebeck Artist Shop, Rhinebeck, New Paltz, Kingston. 40 years of providing professional picture framing, fine art materials, and holiday art sets, stocking stuffers, and materials for young artists. Rhinebeckart.com. And Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends.
And we are back, and thank you, Zachary, for making that happen. We'll go to Lauren in Clifton Park. Okay, Lauren in Clifton Park, you're there. I'm here. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. I appreciate very much all of WAMC's coverage of this entire election season. I second also the previous caller's concerns. I used to be a senior citizen advocate, and the threat to Social Security is huge with Paul Ryan at the helm. But I'm calling in particular about the possible effect of gerrymandering on this election as well as many other elections. Mm. The New York Times reported that this is the fifth time in a presidential election that the winner of the popular vote, which would be Hillary Clinton, did not get elected. Mm. We know that the most recent time before this with respect to the presidential election was in 2000 with Al Gore. So two of the five times where this has happened in the history of our over 250-year-old country have been within the last 16 years.
Okay, Lauren, only because there are 10 people on the line, I want to ask you real quickly, what would you do about that? What would you do to change, to do this? Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, I think that people need to be educated about what it is. There's an excellent article in the New York Times from January of this year, January 13th. The gentleman's name was Chris Ingram. Paul Krugman also writes about it. And understand what it is, and then we have to start working at our state legislators
now,
because the legislators are the ones who draw those lines.
Okay.
And it's also affected more than just the presidential election. The previous congressional elections, again, the Democrats had the majority votes, and yet there were 30 more representatives, Republican representatives elected than Democratic.
No question.
Even though the Democrats cast more votes.
Well, no question you're right about that. I have to say one thing, though, to you, Lauren, and that is that I get a lot of complaints about gerrymandering and also about the popular vote versus the electoral vote. In this election, where it was considered fairly certain up until last night that Clinton was going to win in the electoral vote and not in the popular vote, that I didn't hear almost anybody complaining about it. Now, when she wins in the popular vote, all of a sudden we're back to the old way. How can you explain that?
I'm not sure I'm following.
Okay, well, follow this, Riddler. Here's what I got a lot of calls. I've gotten a lot of calls in the past saying it's not right that somebody who wins the popular vote, doesn't win, and the electoral vote takes it. But in this election, but in this election where it looked like Hillary was going to win in the electoral college, but not necessarily in the popular vote, I had no complaints. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that people are not understanding the effect of the gerrymandering, which our electoral college is determined, the number of electors in each state
That's
is determined
correct.
By the number of representatives
That's
in the
right.
state. And so if the representatives and the districts are skewed to become one party or the other, then we're going to end up getting more victories in those particular political parties. And also the long-term effect of that, too, aside from just this instant election, is that then more of one particular party gets put into office or put into Congress, and then it looks like they've had a majority vote, but they did not.
Lauren, we got it. One time is enough.
All right.
We got it. So now the question then becomes, if this is all true, and of course it is, what do you want to do about it?
Well, I think we need to educate everybody. And WAMC, for being able to provide a huge outlet, can have speakers on about this.
Whoa! You didn't hear? Whoa! You didn't hear us talking about it this morning on.
No, I did. I'm saying do it more and more often because I don't think people are really understanding it, and I think it's getting embedded more and more. We're getting more and more Republicans elected to Congress, and then they think that they've got a mandate, or they can say, "Well, we were elected, so we got the majority," when in fact they didn't.
Okay, Lauren, I take it you made your point. It's coming around the third time.
Right.
That's no good.
Okay.
And I appreciate it very much. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for your service. Bye.
Okay, bye. And now we're going to go to, we're going to go to Anne. Nope, we're going to go to Diane in Massachusetts. Okay, Diane in Massachusetts, your turn.
Hi, Alan.
Hi.
When I got the results early this morning, I was stupefied. I felt sick to my stomach. And I found some solace in your program at the Linder. I wanted to thank you for that.
Well, we're very pleased. I
think the disasters are just going to start coming and coming.
Yeah.
And I think that the world as we've known it is over. I really am feeling doom and gloom. Just wanted to vent that to you.
And I want you to know that many of the people I've been talking to this morning on the phone and other places have really been crying, very upset.
I am at the point where I can't cry. I'm just too stunned.
Yeah. And you know,
I just have a pall over me. I just can't.
Yeah, I get it.
Like, I can't absorb this completely.
Okay. Well, thank you for your call. Very important. And I love the fact that you made it. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay. Now we'll go to, Kate. Good. Okay, Kate, you're on.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I had called a couple of weeks ago about Donald Trump, and then I had been listening to your program through the week, and I wanted to call yesterday, but I didn't get a chance. I was busy about Donald Trump. Now, I believe in God, and I think we have hope that things will, everybody got up this morning and went to work, right? So I'm hopeful, and I think really Donald Trump, not that I'm a supporter of Donald Trump, I'm not, and I voted for Hillary Clinton for stability, and I'm a Green voter. That's it. Hopefully some stability. But I think when I agree with the previous, he was much more elegant, but the previous caller, when he was expressing about the system, the political machine, that Donald Trump, because I'm in healthcare, is a symptom. He's not the disease. So I think, like, when you have an illness, you get a temperature, you get heart rate go up or whatever. He's the symptom. The real disease is the political party in Washington, D.C., and the corruption and everything that's going on there. So when you had your program earlier or yesterday, how you're feeling anxious and this and that or whatever, afraid you're going to move to another country or whatever, I really thought I was going to vote for Hillary Clinton. If she lost, then there was a reason for that. And there's a reason for everything. And maybe Donald Trump, not that I think he'll be a great leader. He's, you know, he's an issue. But there's people out there that voted for him overwhelmingly. And coming from a rural dairy farm, my brothers are farmers. My father was a farmer. His father was a farmer. Fourth generation farmers. And they were all for Trump. They were all for Trump. And I didn't agree with them, but I couldn't not fight back because their reasoning for voting for Trump. So there's some real like division in economics, but division, and that turns people against each other. But I think Trump will maybe turn into a figurehead and the Republican Party will take, you know, will run with it. I don't know, but I don't think it's the end of the world. I think it's a lesson to be learned. And if we, people like yourself and grassroots organizations get together and become an active party in this and push back, I think things will maybe be better for all the people. Because when you look at Social Security, which, you know, I took my mother to the doctor this morning. She didn't vote. She's 86 years old. I grew up in a very political family. My father and mother always talked politics at the table. She didn't even vote. She's 86 years old. She said, I couldn't vote for either one. I don't have much longer. And, you know, it's in the hands of the young. And it really is. It's in the hands of the millennials. I think they're going to do great things. I think it's a lesson to be learned. And we have to get to the disease, not the symptoms.
Oh, and quickly, the disease is?
The political party, Capitol Hill. When I went and got gas this morning, the attendant behind the counter, when I got a cup of tea, said it was so happy with the results. Because there are people out there that do not believe in the political system. And anybody that is left behind, like millions of, you know, like the rural, look at my brothers, they work 24/7. They pay taxes out the, you
yeah,
know,
but they're going to want, but Kate, they're going to want Social Security when the time comes. And if it's not there, that's the question.
Well, it'll be there even if we continue down the road we're going. Will Social Security be there when
Oh, yeah. No, it would have been there.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. Kate, I got to let you go. Thanks for the very good call. Appreciate it very much.
Okay.
And let's go to, let's see here. Who's been holding on the longest? The longest is, the winner is Anne in Altamont. Okay, Anne in Altamont, you're on.
Oh, I'm glad I could win something. Certainly didn't win yesterday. But everyone I ran into this morning at the Y was just sick with this election. And one of the things that came to my mind was, you know, Trump's big thing was lock her up. And I'm wondering, I mean, my only hope is that between now and January, he'll end up in jail. I mean, we've got the fraud of Trump University. We've got the Trump Foundation.
That, by the way, that's a civil suit. There's been no accusation of felonious action on Trump. I mean, you know, these are civil suits. These are civil matters. How do you think?
Why wouldn't it be a crime?
Because it's not.
Set up a university to scam people.
Well,
I mean, we had a case locally where a young man who stole sneakers went to jail for a couple years. And here's a man who's stealing from people. And that foundation, which is now no longer, it's registered in New York and can't do whatever it was he was doing, but where he took foundation money and paid off his legal bills and bought pictures of himself, I mean, aren't these things crimes?
I don't think it's a crime to buy a picture of yourself with foundation money. I'll tell you that right now.
Really?
No. No, I don't think so at all.
That you can raise money for a charity and then use it to buy pictures of yourself to put in your business?
Well, I wouldn't do it, but it's an it comes out of the administrative budget, I'm sure. And so when you come in, you should see the guy who's running the foundation. I'm not arguing.
But they didn't put it at the foundation. They put it in Trump's hotels. And I did agree with TJ and all he said that was going to happen. And the person that was worried about Social Security, I mean, Hillary had a plan. You raise the amount, the level where you're putting things in. I mean, I just think this is the biggest disaster ever. And I think I've heard people say Hillary was the wrong candidate, but I think anyone who went up against Trump would have been pulled down the same way he did to the Republican nominees.
Could be.
I just think he's an evil bully.
Okay, Ann, thank you. All right, and now we're going to go to, Richard in Schenectady. All right, Richard, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Hi, Alan. Do you mind if I change what I was going to say for my what I told the screener to?
How would I know what you were going to say? Go ahead.
Oh, all right. I thought you read it. I think what we have to do is the next presidential candidate for the Democratic Party in 2020 needs to be a white male. And that bothers me to say it because I really like Elizabeth Warren. And I'm really sorry Joe Biden didn't feel up to running this time, because although I didn't predict it, I'm thinking now maybe he would have had more success against Donald Trump than Hillary did. And then redistricting takes place again in 2020, right after the census.
Yep.
And at first I thought, well, that'll be the next president. But really, who are the most appropriate people when it comes to redistricting? What positions do the Democrats need to be in for effective redistricting?
Well, first of all, they would have to control their houses. And unfortunately,
in states?
In other words, that's right. It happens. Redistricting is a state function, so the state legislature would have to do it. And let me tell you right now, in the assembly, they draw their own lines and they get themselves elected, and they try to wipe out the Democrats try to wipe out the Republicans, vice versa up till now in the Senate. And both have been successful. When Andrew Cuomo ran for governor, he said, first thing I'm going to do is refuse to sign the redistricting bill, because I got to pass a bill unless they cut it out and stop drawing their own districts. And of course, as soon as he came into office, he said he had some deals to make, so he was going to let them continue. But many of us thought that the reason he did it is because he wanted to see the Republicans stay in control. The Democrat, by the way, wanted to see the Republicans stay in control, of the Senate. It is one of the largest disgraces that I know of, and you're right to raise it. It's terrible that in a democracy, a so-called democracy, you give the people who are the incumbents the right to draw their own districts where they can't lose. It's disgusting.
Well, until it's changed, if people want a little bit of hope, just remember in 2 years, make sure they go out to vote in 2018. For Democrats in the state positions.
Why? Because Andrew Cuomo didn't do it. He's a Democrat. The Assembly Democrats never did it because they have their own way of drawing their own districts. Why vote for Democrats?
There's not even any hope there.
I don't see it. Thank you.
I'm looking for some area where I can find some hope based on the results of the last night's election.
You should have stayed with your first question. Thanks very much, Richard. Appreciate it very much.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. And now we are going to go to, we'll go to Rich in Albany. Okay, Rich. Hey, Rich, is this your first call today?
Hey, Dr. Shortuck. Yes, I am actually a first-time caller.
Wow.
And I'm a sometimes listener.
Okay.
And I have to confess, I'm on the dark side. So I'm one of the deplorables that Hillary spoke about.
Okay.
And I listen to your show quite often, and I listen to, the conservative shows, listen to the liberal shows, and I kind of can come up with my own conclusions, I think, of what's going on. And I wanted to call a few weeks ago. A woman called and had said, how could anybody, and I think it was right after the Trump disgraceful comments he was making on the Billy Bush there, the Billy Bush bus, and how anyone could vote for Donald Trump, how any educated person could vote for Donald Trump, especially an educated woman. So I, you know, I'm a white educated man, 50 years old. I own my own business. I own a construction company. I have a degree in computer science, and I ended up in the construction field. And I thought to myself, you know, what an uneducated thing to say. Some people have views that take them different ways based on their life experiences, and how someone can just put me into a basket because my views are different from the current administration or from their views. I think myself, Obama's been incredibly divisive. I have family members who are in law enforcement. My sister's a police officer. And I listened to some of the boneheaded comments President Obama made about police officers when they're involved in the shooting, as opposed to just saying, let's stay calm, let's listen to see what the facts are before we rush to judgment about whether the police officer was wrong or the individual was wrong, the suspect was wrong that was shot. And a lot of that is divisive just to the black community and the white community. And I thought Trump wasn't my guy to begin with. I'm a more religious conservative guy and I shouldn't even say that. Ted Cruz was my fella, and it was more the fiscal aspects that I was worried about in our economy, more about the social things.
Okay, but you are kind of wandering a little bit, Rich.
I apologize, and I'll make my point.
Sure.
And I'll make my point. I apologize
sure.
for
That's
that.
Okay.
What occurred to me last night is when I was listening to the votes and coming through, and where was the black vote? Where were they? And it just everyone painted Trump as a racist and this and that and whatever. And the black people did not come out and vote for Hillary Clinton. And
whoa,
it wasn't
whoa,
because
whoa.
Her politics.
You don't mean,
or
whoa, whoa,
whoa,
Rich,
her.
Rich, you don't mean all right. black people didn't come out.
No, I don't mean that. No, it was less than it was for President Obama on both elections.
Yeah.
I was like, where was their vote for Hillary when she needed them? And I think a lot of that was more than, you know, a lot of that was that they came out and voted for Obama because he was a black man, not necessarily because of the policy. Now, Barack Obama was president because white people overwhelmingly came out and voted for him. They showed that the U.S. is not a racist country. We have our mistakes and we have our problems, but we have our different views. And a lot of times I can listen to your view and your argument. I can say, yeah, you know what? I could see that argument. And I could see why people think that. I may disagree with it,
yeah.
but I can make an educated guess. And I hear just a lot of the comments that people are saying, you know, the country's doomed. I don't know if the country's doomed. I know that we owe a lot of money in debt. I know that a lot of the countries don't respect us. I know we have lots of problems. And we had Bush, we had Clinton, we had Obama. All three very political people. You know, I hope he does the right thing, Mr. Trump, and unify the country. He said he wants to try and help getting inroads into the inner cities. I hope he can do that, and I hope he'll be everybody's president like he claimed.
Okay,
like
Rich,
he claims he
Rich,
wants to
okay,
do.
Rich, I am up against the break. I'm a minute and 46 seconds late for it, so thank you for calling. Appreciate your very interesting words. Okay, Zach, take it away.
Support for WAMC comes from Shannon Rose Design, Saratoga Springs, New York, working to help companies and organizations express their identities through corporate branding, web design and development, and graphic design for almost 3 decades. ShannonRose.com. The Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences in the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang. Chester Common Table, new restaurant on Main Street, Chester, Massachusetts. Locally sourced comfort food, beers and spirits, outdoor seating, live music weekends, comfortable setting. ChesterCommonTable.com. Quality Foreign Car Care, Boston Spa, New York. Sales and service of Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Saab, Volkswagen, and Porsche. QFCC.com. And Preservation League of New York State, offering EPIP, a revolving loan program to acquire, stabilize, and restore historic buildings in New York. PreserveNYS.org.
Thank you very much, Zachary. Now we're going to go to Mike in Glens Falls. Mike in Glen Falls, you're on.
Hi, thank you very much, Alan. I noticed last night in the three states that finally pushed Trump over the top, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, Trump and Hillary were like 1 point apart, and Gary Johnson had like 3 points, 3%. Now, I realize that we don't, if Johnson were not in the race, we don't know whether or not his votes might have gone to Hillary. But I am convinced that under the present Electoral College system, a third-party candidate just can't win with a low percentage, and they end up playing the spoiler. Historically, the only third-party candidate I can think of who did well was Theodore Roosevelt in 1912. He finished ahead of William Howard Taft.
Bull Moose.
But both, right, correct. And both of them lost to Woodrow Wilson. So I'm not, until they get rid of the Electoral College, I don't see a third-party candidate being successful.
Yeah, but maybe that's not the criteria. Look, first of all, I want you to know I agree with you. But let me just argue the devil's side of this thing. There's no question that there are some people who don't care. I mean, you know, they don't like either of them, and they want to vote, and they want to say, this is my protest vote. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Except with the Electoral College, the person that they may not want to get in, whether it's they may not like both of them.
I just told you they don't care. They don't care who gets in. And as a matter of fact, I remember some of the peace marches I used to go on when I was a kid and younger man, and civil rights marches and things. And there was always somebody in the group who says, let's tear down the whole system. We can't. Let's vote for the worst of two evils, and that way the revolution will come faster. It was crazy talk, to be honest with you. But yeah, they made the point. It was their right to do whatever to say whatever they said. We tried to monitor who was marching and who wasn't. But you see, the purpose of third parties is not always to worry about one or the other of the two major party candidates getting elected. And Jill Stein sat right where I'm sitting right now, and I sat right over here next to her, and I said to her, "Do you care?" You know, basically the answer was no. No. And you know, in some places, those 1 or 2 points would have been the difference. Okay.
Yep, sure
Mike, thank you very much for your good call. Appreciate it.
Yep.
All right. So now let's go to, Mike in Richmond. All right. We got a lot of Mikes today. Hey, Mike, you haven't called yet today, have you?
I have not.
Okay, go ahead.
Great. So a couple of your listeners had a couple of comments. Everything happens for a reason. Yes, everything happens for a reason. The reason that Hillary lost the election is because the FBI got involved in politicizing it.
Okay.
The gentleman who said that we need to run a white male next time on the Democratic side, well, we had a white male. His name was Bernie Sanders, and he was ambushed by the Democratic Party in the nomination process. American history will be divided into pre-Trump and post-Trump eras, looking back on this debacle. And the problem isn't Trump. He's an idiot. He doesn't know what to do. The problem is Pence. If he takes the reins behind the scenes like Cheney did, he'll make Cheney look like Abraham Lincoln. And finally, we need to change the name of this country to the Divided State of America.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks a lot. All right, and now we will go to line number 9 and to Emily. Emily, welcome back. Go ahead.
Hi, I'll talk quickly. Most of the people hit upon the issues I was going to say, but I'll just say that the people that are calling in and other people on the planet are so either horrified or whatever, but energized. And what I hear in people's voices is this energy that perhaps they'll make changes now. You know, like when you have an accident or something and something goes traumatically wrong in your life, you fix it. You go to healers, you have a different perspective, you change. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is like a big cataclysmic catastrophe that will wake people up and make them change.
A lot of this, that's an interesting perspective. Of course, a lot's going to depend on what Trump does, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I have so much doom and gloom that the way I can handle that is have hope, and have hope that he won't that he'll do good things and that the people around him will make good choices. I know he's very dependent upon his family, and his daughter is very into certain women's issues, so perhaps there's hope there. And
uh-oh, that wasn't us, I hope. Anyway, sorry about that, really sorry about that. Okay, and let's go to Richard in Hyde Park. Okay, Richard in Hyde Park, you're on. Richard.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
Hey, thanks for staying awake.
Okay, it's not easy. They're trying to kill me, you know that.
I know.
Go ahead.
Hey, I'm calling about the third party and third-party candidates and splitting the votes. So what's your take on ranked voting?
Well, you know, there are those people who are for it. There are those people who are against it. It's not a bad idea. For those people who are listening, what happens is you put your first, second, and third choice on. If your first choice is eliminated, your vote goes to your second choice or to your third choice. Theoretically, it's a pretty good idea. You've heard, of course, of proportional representation, right, Richard?
Yeah.
Well, proportional representation does much of the same thing, so that what happens is if you're, for example, for a communist candidate, you know, you can vote for, it's basically rank. You vote for one. If one is eliminated, your vote goes to two or to three, based on who gets eliminated. And that way you're almost sure that within your Congress or your county legislature or your city council, which happened in New York, by the way, they used to have proportional representation, you're going to have a certain number of communists, because otherwise, if it's just single-member constituencies, you won't. You'll just get, you know, the same old, same old. So there are those people who think it's a much better thing to have, because a much wider range of people will be represented in their legislature.
Well, that's exactly what I'm thinking. You know, it's like, I didn't vote for Trump, but I kind of understand that people are tired of. I've been tired of the Democrats and the Republicans for years.
Right.
And I've always, being in New York, you know, I can always be assured that a Democrat's going to be elected, pretty much. But I was scared a little bit this time, so I did vote for Hillary instead of the Green or the Working Party. But you know, I would like to get more voices involved. But I would like to have that safety valve where if everything goes to hell, if everything goes wrong, that, you know, we're going to fall back to something reasonable.
Richard, you're a good man. Thanks for making your call. Okay, let's see here. Okay, Kit in Monterey. All right, Kit, your turn.
Hi there, Alan. How are you doing?
Well, you know.
Yes. Yeah, right. Like the rest of us. A couple of points. First point I want to make is that I think the Democrats have won the popular vote in six out of the last seven elections since 1992. If it's true that Hillary has actually won the popular vote here, that includes Al Gore in 2000.
Well, it would appear to be. As they say in court, stipulated, counselor, go on.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to say was, I guess that if George W. Bush was the decider, I think Trump is the divider. And, you know, I think when he's not able to pull through on any of his promises, like building a wall, for instance, and all that, when that stuff inevitably fails, as I think it will, he's going to start assigning blame, and that's because that's his natural modus operandi. And I think I fear that it's going to get really ugly. And it's going to look a lot like Germany in the 30s.
Well, I hope you're wrong. Could be you're right.
I hope
right.
I'm wrong, too.
Could be you're right, but I hope you're wrong. Hey, kid,
well,
I hope I'm wrong.
I just want to point out that I think in about 2 years there are going to be certain groups of people who are blamed for all of the failures of the inevitable failures of the Trump administration.
And who will they be?
Who will they be? Well, I mean, he might start with Mexicans, but he'll probably work his way.
Oh, I see. You mean scapegoating. Yeah, I get it. Thanks, Kit.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Yeah. All right. That was Kit, and a good call it was. Let's go to Mike in Saratoga. Mike in Saratoga, I take it this is your first call in the program, yes?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
go ahead.
It is. You got another mic.
We got about five mics today. Go ahead.
I haven't slept all night, but I just want to say what bothers me the most being a former Bernie, then Hillary supporter, was that rhetoric that Trump used. I know, like you said, there were some angry voters that were going to go to somebody like that no matter what. But many people, I believe, listened to that rhetoric, the hate speech, and were turned on by it and turned out in record numbers. And the gentleman a few calls ago said that we voted for a black president, so there's no more racism. I don't believe that for a second, that there are still racist elements, and that also played into it. And that's what scares me the most.
I could have had Mike, I could have had a long argument with that. I thought about doing it and say, no, let him have a say. So, but go ahead.
Yeah, and I wish Trump had specific planks and platforms that he described, and then I could at least rationalize, yeah, okay, he had better platforms. He never did. He said the word great a lot and the word beautiful a lot, and then, of course, all the bad words he said, and he's our president, so it's really hard for me to come to grips with that.
Yeah, well, you're not alone this morning, Mike. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. I'm trying to get everybody in. It's not easy, and I hope you all understand that. Let's see here. Let's go to James in Highland. Okay, James, make it quick. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Alan. How are you?
Good, but make it quick. Go ahead.
I'll make it as quick as I can. I think Donald Trump is a genius.
Okay.
Okay, and the only reason why I say that is because he used all his rhetoric and he used everything that he did in his arsenal because he was a self-funded candidate, okay? Look at all the free media that he got, all right? He knows where America is. He knows all about, you know, the corrupt politics and just everybody's drowning and choking to death on it. He had nothing to lose by running for president. He has no, he doesn't owe anybody anything. He's pretty much an independent, although he ran on the Republican ticket. And if you look at where Hillary did the best, say Washington, D.C., what was it, 98%? Well, that's because they're all in each other's pockets.
Okay, gotcha, James. James, that's it for now. And let's go to Phoebe very quickly. Phoebe, you're probably going to be the last call, so go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. I have a fantasy coming from the complete mud of despair. Is there any possibility that I know there are Republicans who are horrified by what happened, maybe even some Republicans who have remorse. Would there be any possibility of a bipartisan coalition forming to contain the monster that has been elected?
Well, it depends what happens. I mean, you got guys like John McCain who obviously have no use for the guy at all. If he comes up with things that are unacceptable in terms of what the American people, I mean, if you tried to do away with Social Security as we know it right now, there would be hell to pay. You know, there really would. And the Republicans found that out when they tried it the last time. So if John McCain is there and Arizona has a lot of old people in it, I think there's such a possibility. However, I don't know that he's going to make those kinds of mistakes, Phoebe. And I apologize for this, but I got to let you go because we are out of time. Unbelievable. And here's who we get left on the phone. Catherine of Clintondale, Charlie of Montgomery, Chris of Chatham, Dave of Pittsfield, Susie of Schenectady, Jim of Elizaville, and Joe of Glenville. I apologize to all of you. We are out of time. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Grapes and Grains. Grapes and Grains, wine and spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans, hand-picked selections of wines, single malts, and small-batch bourbons. GrapesandGrainsWine.com. Penny Farthing Investment, MGMT. Penny Farthing Investment Management, Amherst. A socially conscious fee-only investment advisor of personal retirement and endowment portfolios, including the Bright Penny Community Strategies, brightpenny.org. Union Gables Mansion Inn, Union Gables Mansion Inn, Saratoga Springs. Celebrating 25 years, providing a historic bed and breakfast with hotel amenities and individuals and businesses. UnionGables.com. and Pelham Auto Service. Pelham Auto Service at the Amherst-Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig, a worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972, PelhamAuto.com. Anyway, folks, thanks for joining us. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Did a terrific job. Your calls were answered by Dina Salzman. If you were lucky enough to talk to her, you know how good she is. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Alan Shartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.